We're going to have our Bible reading. If you need a Bible, please put a hand in the air. I think there's some people paused to bring you one. Tonight we're going to read from Psalm 67, which you'll find on page 581 if you're using one of the church Bibles. Psalm 67. Wait for everyone to get there. The rustling of pages is a good thing. Psalm 67. For the director of music, with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Selah, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. Selah. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest. And God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us. And all the ends of the earth will fear him. Let's pray, shall we, before we have a look at this together. Father, in the book of Romans, you tell us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And Father, we ask that this psalm, this portion of your spoken word to us, would be renewing our minds and helping us to come more and more in line with the way that you want us to think. Father, please show us Christ tonight from the scriptures. Show us him that we might love him. Show us him that we might adore him and that we might leave here singing of him. And we ask it, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you a question this evening. It's quite directed if you would call yourself a follower of Jesus this evening. But I want to ask you that if you were to write out a typical Monday morning prayer, and you were to write it down on a piece of paper and you were to put it side by side on a table with Psalm 67, how would they compare? The requests that you make, the themes that you pray for, the passion with which you pray on a Monday morning. How does your praying life as a follower of Jesus, compare to the praying life that we see in Psalm 67. Now, if you're honest enough this evening, then you might read verse 1 and you think, I've nailed it. Look at verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. You see, for me personally, I've got no problems praying that kind of prayer. That's a very typical Monday morning prayer for me. God, bless me, bless my family, bless my church family, bless those who are connected to me, bless us. But if I'm honest, I think the similarities end there. How does your praying life compare to the prayer life we see before us in Psalm 67? Now, I ask you that this evening not to make you feel guilty. I guess most of our experiences of talks on prayer is, oh, here we go again. He's going to make me feel guilty that I'm not praying enough, and I know I'm not praying enough. And can I tell you, I'm not asking you that question to make you feel guilty. I'm actually asking you because I want to encourage you with something this evening. Psalm 67 is a precious gift to us from God our Father in heaven to help us pray the way that he wants us to pray. The way he wants disciples of our Lord Jesus to pray. At its heart, Psalm 67 is a prayer for mission. It is a prayer that as we leave this room tonight that will help us to pray for Nick and for Tamsin. It is a prayer that will help us to pray for Silver Street Community Church as it seeks to reach the nations that are around them. It is a prayer that will help us to pray for all the partner churches on our map as we say, Lord, we want the nations to praise you. We want the nations to come before you. Psalm 67 is a gift from God to tune our hearts, to pray God's way for God's work in God's world. Let me put that on the screen because it's probably a confusing sentence. Here it is. It is a song. Psalm 67 is a song that tunes us to pray God's way for God's work in God's world. Now, please don't laugh at me for a moment. But when I was at primary school, I was really bad at learning my times tables. So my mum, in love, went and bought me a Smurf CD of them singing the times tables. Now, it wasn't a CD, it was a cassette, but I'm just trying to connect with the young people. that's it. Yeah. So here I had this times table CD of the Smurfs, and every night my mum used to make me listen to this song to help me learn what I did not know. And actually, Psalm 67, whilst no Smurf CD, is a song for the church. It's a song from our loving Father in heaven to help us do what doesn't come naturally to us. Psalm 67 captures the praying life of someone who's so caught up in the joy and gladness of having been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ that they just bubble over in longing for that to reach other people too. That's what Psalm 67 is. And so as we come to this psalm together tonight, can I suggest that as you're listening in, that the attitude, the little kind of rumbling of your heart is something similar to what the disciples said to the Lord Jesus on an occasion where they'd watched him pray. That we come to this psalm tonight and we say, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach me to pray. Where perhaps you've lined up your Monday morning prayer against this prayer in Psalm 67, and you feel like a detuned instrument, you can say, Lord, tune me up so that I pray the way that you want me to pray for your work in this world. And the way that this does it, this song that teaches us to pray, it does it first of all because actually it's a song that tunes us to God's goal. This week in the Howard House, it's birthday week. So, amazingly, we've managed to land 3 birthdays in 1 week. But that means for Emma and I, the last few weeks have been on kind of operation present buying. Boys, block your ears, okay? But actually, we have a very simple goal, Emma and I, when we go out and buy presents. This may be what not everyone else does, but our simple goal in buying a present is to buy something that we know that when they rip off that paper will bring them great joy and gladness. We want to buy them something where it gives them that moment where you're like, this is incredible. Now, can I show you something about this psalm? In a similar way, nestled right into the heart of this psalm is actually one of God's goals for our world. See, let me just give you some kind of technical stuff about the psalm. It's actually like a mountain, okay? So you kind of start at the beginning, you climb all the way up to the middle, which is verse 4, and then you climb all the way back down again, okay? So if you got that picture? So that's the psalm. That's Psalm 67. Now, if we climb to the top, if we climb to the middle of the mountain, the kind of the very peak of this psalm, which is verse 4, have a look there, you'll see one of God's goals for you, for the nations, for the Turks in Edmonton, for the Somalis in Edmonton. You'll see his goal. Here it is, verse 4. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. Now, if I put it like this evening, it may probably surprise some of us. But God's goal one of his great purposes for our world is that the nations, including us, know joy and gladness. The deepest of joy and gladness that could ever, ever be tasted, ever be experienced. Now, for fear of sounding heretical for a moment, and for fear of sounding like a televangelist, God wants you to be happy. He does. Now, you see, our world gets that pursuit of happiness, don't they? The world we live in hungers after happiness. Our own hearts, our world is a joy, gladness pursuing world. It's what every false gospel offers, joy and gladness. When you go to a shop and you buy a new gadget, it's what it offers, joy and gladness for a moment. Every relationship that you could possibly engage in, what does it put before you? Joy and gladness. But here's the twist on that joy and gladness that God wants for you in Psalm 67. Where does this joy and gladness come from? Well, it doesn't come from stuff. It doesn't come from God giving you more stuff, a fuller bank account, your kids in the right school, the better car, the better house, the happier job. That's not where this joy and gladness comes from. Neither does it come from God just letting you do what you want to do. You know, lots of us think, well, I'll just be happy if I could just do what I want to do. Do my own thing. But that's not where this happiness comes from. Actually, this joy and this gladness, have a look very carefully at verse 4, comes from living with God as your God. Comes from living with God as the one who rules over you, who leads you. See, look at verse 4. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for because you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. Joy and gladness of the fullest sort, type is intimately connected with your relationship with God. And God's great goal is to bring the nations that live around us here, the nations we represent, it is to bring the nations into the joy and gladness of having a relationship with Him as our Lord and our provider, which is what verse 4 says. It's the joy and gladness that once you've tasted it, just bubbles over into the praising that we read about in verse 3 and 5. You see, if this psalm is a mountain, okay, and verse 4 is the top of the mountain, this joy and this gladness, you'll discover this mountain is held up by an awful lot of stuff. And what is it held up by? What is this joy and gladness? What is this relationship? Well, have a look with me at verse 2. This joy and gladness is intimately connected with knowing God as Savior. See, look at verse 2 with me. That your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. As the nations come to experience the truth that God, our God, is a saving God, then there'll be true joy and gladness. And friends, isn't that true? That as we know God, God the Father who sent His Son into this world to save sinners like us, that is where true joy and gladness comes from. That is the one of the things that props up this joy and gladness. Look at verse 6. When you know the joy and gladness of God as provider, then the land will yield its harvest. Now, in the Old Testament, harvest is intimately connected with God's provision to keep this people going. Give us this day our daily bread. Where does this joy and this gladness come from? If I can put it like this, this joy and gladness supported by the whole psalm comes from knowing God as Savior. It comes from knowing Him as Lord and leader. And it comes from knowing Him as provider. That is what props up this joy and gladness in the psalm. And as believers in our Lord Jesus, that is what we know Him to be. And it is for this great goal, the joy and gladness of living with God as your Savior and your leader and your provider, that is the goal for which He created Adam and Eve. Because that is the goal that we see lived out in the garden. And when Adam and Eve turned and ran from that joy and gladness, they chose to reject the joy and gladness of living with God as their leader and their provider. Actually, then God says, okay, well, I will appoint this nation, Israel. And this was the nation where he brought them into the joy and gladness of a special relationship with him. But actually, if you read the Bible, you'll discover that this nation turned from the joy and gladness of living with God as their leader. And it is for the goal of bringing the nations in then that Jesus was sent into this world. It is for this goal of gathering and blessing the nations that Jesus died. It is this for this goal of bringing joy, the joy of this relationship that Jesus rose from the dead. It is this joy that Jesus brings to people as we put our faith in him. And it is for this goal, the goal of bringing gladness to the nations as they submit to him, that mission exists. In Matthew 28, Jesus says to his disciples, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And what is he saying? Gather them in. Gather them in to live with me as Father and Jesus as their older brother. He says, bring them into the joy of that relationship. And you know, it's for this goal, the goal of joy and gladness living under the Lord's leadership, that the new heavens and the new earth will be created, that the Lord Jesus will return, because that will be an occasion filled with joy and gladness for all eternity. Why? Because we live with God as our Savior. For all eternity, we will rejoice in Jesus, our Savior. We live with him as our leader and our guide, verse 4, and we will live with him permanently as our provider. And nothing will be more joyful and more glad than that. And friends, this evening, this is a joy that many of us have been swept up in by God's kindness to us, isn't it? We've come to experience God as our Savior and our leader and our provider as we have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The joy of knowing him. And actually, do you know what verse 3 and 5, if you look at the psalm, you know, you climb down the mountain. What does that do? Well, that produces a group of people like us who want to gather on a Sunday and overspill with praise to God. Why do you want to come and praise him on a Sunday? I hope it's because you know him as your Savior. I hope it's because you know him as the one who leads you day to day. And I hope it's because you know him as the one who provides for you. And that's why our mouths are opened on a Sunday. And can I say to you this evening that if you're not part of that praising people, then actually you can be swept joyfully into this plan. This is God's goal. It's God's goal for you. It's God's goal for the nations, that you be brought into the joy and gladness of this relationship. And you do that through faith in Christ, faith in our Lord Jesus. And friends, when we start to understand, here's my point if you're still with me. When we start to understand and tune up to the fact that that is God's goal, this is what he is doing in our world, then we will start to pray like Psalm 67. We'll start to cry out, verse 4, Father, may the nations be glad and sing for joy as you bring them into relationship with you through faith in Jesus Christ. We'll start to cry out, verse 3 and 5, may the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Isn't this how Jesus taught his disciples to pray? Father, hallowed be your name. Lord, we want the nations to say you're great, you're awesome, you're the Savior, you're the leader we need. Your kingdom come. Could people be gathered in to know the joy and the gladness of the relationship that we have with you through faith in Jesus? Why do we pray this way? Why should we adopt praying like Psalm 67? Very simply, because we live in a world that does not know God as Savior, that does not know the joy and gladness of living with God as their God, of fearing him. And it's only as he makes himself known, as he reveals himself to the nations, will these people come and enjoy that relationship, just as many of us sit here this evening. And so let me ask you tonight, do you share God's goal? Do you share his heart for the nations to be filled with joy and gladness? Not an empty joy and gladness through offering them something that's kind of glittery but lasts only a moment, but the joy and gladness of living now with God as their God through faith in Jesus Christ. The goal of mission isn't just to fill seats in church. The goal of mission is not to check a few boxes so that you get a few brownie points when you get to heaven. You get a better mansion or whatever it is. The goal of mission is that the nations praise our God, who we know as Savior, who we know as leader, and who we know as provider. And that the nations are filled with the joy and gladness that comes from being in that place. So here's a song that tunes us to God's goal to bless the nations. But actually, it's a song that also tunes us to God's game plan. It tunes us to the way God is at work in the world. Every so often, my mum comes up to visit us, normally on a Monday. And if I'm around early enough in the day, she often puts a bag of sweets in my hand. Oh, the blessings have come. My mum has come to visit, and here is this bag of sweets in my hand. My mum's face has shone upon me, and I am full of praise for my mum. But then come the dreaded words. Nathan, these are for you to share with the children. There's something in me at that point that I'm not listening. Because I want the sweets for myself, but my mom blesses me with this bag of sweets. I get to enjoy them too, but my job is to share them with the children, to share the blessings. And friends, can I tell you that God's game plan to bring blessing to the nations is no different. He blesses his people. He shows a group of people on earth his grace and his mercy so that through that group of people, that message of Jesus, the Savior, might reach the ends of the earth. We are blessed to bless. We are blessed to be a blessing to others. That is God's game plan to bring salvation to the nations, to bring joy and gladness to the nations. See, let me show you that in the psalm, okay? So we've done the top of the mountain, God's great goal. What's holding this up, okay? If you go all the way down to the bottom of the mountain, both sides, look with me at verse 1 and 2. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Why? Look at verse 2. That, or so that, depending on the translation you're using, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. And then it's the same in verse 7. God will bless us. And as he blesses us, all the ends of the earth will fear him. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those fancy kind of champagne towers. I'm not even sure if it's called a champagne tower, where there's one glass at the top, and then they kind of stack out the glasses. Has anyone seen one of those, or is this just something weird I imagined? This is true, isn't it? And what you do is you pour the champagne into this top glass. And as that glass overflows, it then kind of fills down. And then all the other glasses below it get filled up. And it keeps pouring and it keeps pouring. But eventually this whole tower of glasses is filled. And can I tell you that champagne tower is the way that God, for since the beginning of time, has planned to bring blessing to the nations. He pours his blessing, his grace, his mercy into one place so that overflows to those that are around them. We read about it with a man named Abraham in the Bible. Abraham, in Genesis 12, God says to Abraham, he's the champagne glass, I will bless you. And then listen to what he says. I'm going to quote it so I get it right. He says, and in you, all the peoples of earth will be blessed through you. So here's the champagne, Abraham, and it's poured out. And this blessing flows from Abraham to the nations. And then God says the same for his nation, Israel, in the Old Testament. He says, I'm going to pour all my grace. I've rescued you. You know me as Savior. You know me as the one who guides you through the wilderness. You know me as the one who provides for you every day. I'm going to pour all my grace and blessing and mercy upon you. And then through you, the world will say, hey, they've got a great God. We want some of that action. Our God doesn't guide us through the wilderness. Our God doesn't give us bread every day. I want some of that action. And then actually the great plan to pour into a champagne glass that empties out everywhere else is fulfilled and is now being fulfilled through Jesus and his church. It tells us in Galatians that the blessings given to Abraham, the champagne glass, come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. God poured out his blessing abundantly on Jesus. And through Jesus, now that blessing, that salvation overflows to the nations. And actually, it's true for the church. 1 Peter 2 tells us, but you, church, believers in our Lord Jesus, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Why? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We are blessed. We've received the mercy of God so that we can be a blessing to others by making sure that they get some of the action too. If I can put it like this, that the joys of being together on a Sunday, the joys of coming along and being reminded again, which a Sunday does, being reminded that I'm a sinner, but I'm forgiven. You know, isn't that what we sing about when we get on a Sunday and the Bible's open and we preach Jesus and we preach the cross? Our hearts are lifted. Yes, I've had a terrible week. Yes, I've messed up again. But boy, God is good. And we're bubbling over, hopefully, on a Sunday with the joy of knowing Jesus as our Savior. But the joys of a Sunday are meant to overflow into the missions of a Monday. And when I mean mission, I'm not just talking about what Nick does full time. I'm talking about what you do when you mix in your neighborhood with your neighbors, when you go to your workplace. The joys of what you know in Jesus is meant to overflow in bringing that message to those who are around us. That's what Jesus does, isn't it, in Matthew 28. He takes this handful of men, these 12 disciples, who've experienced the joy and the gladness of Jesus risen, their sins forgiven. And he says to them, go. Go make disciples of all nations. What is God's game plan? To bring the nations into the joy and gladness of a relationship with him through faith in Jesus? You are. We are. The church. Where we experience his face shining upon us, where we experience verse 1, that he's gracious to us, that he blesses us, and he makes his face to shine upon us. And when we get that God's game plan is to bring the blessing to the world through us, it will shape the way that we pray. We pray not as blessing hoarders. Not as like I do with that bag of sweets when mum puts it in my hand and clench it real tight and think, I've got a lot of children. There's not a lot of sweets in this bag. This isn't going to go very well. We don't pray like that. We pray as blessing sharers. We pray as those who are unashamed to ask to receive. Why? So that we can be open-handed and give just as God has been to us. We pray as those who seek the blessing of God for the sake of others. We start to pray with the selflessness of Jesus Christ. And can I tell you this evening that it's not wrong to pray verse 1. It's not wrong to pray, may God be gracious to us. May God bless us and make his face to shine upon us. It's not wrong to pray that God will provide for us. It's not wrong to pray that as a church family, we just grow every week in our joy and gladness of being God's people. It's not wrong to pray that. But we should be praying it because our goal is God's goal. That the nations come to know him as Lord and Savior and Provider. And it's not wrong to pray as a church family that God provides us all that we need to keep planting churches in Eastern Enfield. Lord, please bless what we're doing. There's so many nations in Eastern Enfield. Lord, please would you give us the resources we need. Please would you keep showing us mercy. Please would you keep putting yourself on display as you spread us out and people hear our story. It's not wrong to pray that. It's not wrong to pray that the Lord will give us the money we need to not just keep the churches going that we've got going, but that actually we've got money to do more. It's not wrong to pray that. Why? Because we share his goal that the nations come and they praise him because they experience what it's like to live with him as God. It's not wrong to pray for Nick this week that God would bless him, that God would make his ministry fruitful, that God would make his face to shine upon Nick, not just so that Nick has a very comfortable week, but so that the nations in Edmonton might get to hear about Jesus this week. It's not wrong for us to be praying for our partner churches individually, that they succeed in what they do, that God is so in it. Can you imagine if God chose to fill all the buildings that we represent here, and people were like on a Sunday night, where are they all going? You know, there's this big buzz. It's not wrong to pray that God would do something like that as they're watching people flock from all over Enfield to this place to experience the joy and the gladness. And they say, I want some of that. It's not wrong to pray that, because that's what this psalm teaches us to pray. And doesn't Jesus teach the disciples to pray for exactly the same thing? Give us this day our daily bread. Father, give us what we need to do the work that you call us to do. Forgive us our sins. Father, be gracious to us. Keep showing us that mercy. I'm a sinner. I sin every day. I know I'm forgiven, but just keep reminding me of it. Keep reminding me of the Lord Jesus. Keep pointing me to his cross. It's not wrong to pray for him to protect us, to guide us. The thing that struck me most this week is God's game plan is to use us. He wants us to go and tell. But the thing that really grabbed me this week is this. The game plan is go and tell, yes, but actually the game plan is that we pray this way. How is God going to spread the word of Jesus? As we pray like this. Because it's his work. Unless he does something, unless he's in it, nothing's going to happen. And so first and foremost, yes, God's going to use us to bring blessing to the world. But actually, he does it as we pray like Psalm 67. And so Psalm 67 is a gift from God to help us pray God's way for God's work, the spreading of the good news of Jesus in this God's world. It tunes us to God's game plan and it tunes us to his goal. And may the Lord Jesus so move our hearts this week that the prayers that we pray on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and the prayers we pray for Nick and for Silver Street and for Berry Street and for Causeway and for Bush Hill Park and the prayers we pray for London City Mission may increasingly marry up with Psalm 67. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, teach us to pray. Father, many of us know what it is to pray, but many of us would feel the conviction that we pray selfishly rather than for the praise of your name. We pray for our own comfort. And Heavenly Father, we ask tonight that you would use this psalm, use this song to so tune our hearts that our praying life as a church and as individuals may marry up with Psalm 67. Father, may the nations praise you. Father, we are surrounded by the nations here in Enfield and in Eastern Enfield. Father, we're surrounded by the nations that have come to our country, and we eagerly pray that you would bring them to the joy and gladness of knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior and Provider. And we ask that you would use us to do it. Father, please bless the work of of Enfield Free Church and all the partner churches, for Silver Street this evening, particularly as we think of Nick. Father, please bless the work of Nick, that the good news might come to the nations he speaks of. Bless the work of London City Mission, Father, that the good news of Jesus may spread around our capital city. Father, tune our hearts to pray your way for your work in this, your world. And we ask it, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.